I'd like to welcome everybody, and especially the visitors. It's so nice to see many of you here. We're going to be looking in John chapter 20, if you'll find your place in your Bible there, John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And I'm not sure if this mic's going to work, but I'll try it, and I'll try to project very loudly. We're going to look at this account of Thomas and the disciples and our Lord's appearance to the disciples. And we're going to see that he was a bit of a skeptic, wasn't he? He didn't believe right away. He didn't believe his 10 best friends, the testimony of his friends. And so you might call him a skeptic. And so I've titled this short message, "The Skeptic Who Believed Jesus." Maybe you've been called a skeptic before about something. Maybe somebody's trying to persuade you about something in the past. And you say, you know, I'd like a little more evidence on that. I kind of doubt if that's true. Maybe you've known a skeptic. Perhaps you're skeptical about the presidential elections, the economy. Maybe you're here today and you're even skeptical about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a historical fact that occurred 2,000 years ago, and that is what we're celebrating today. So we're going to learn about this skeptic, a skeptic from 2,000 years ago, and seek to try to make some application to our lives. As you know, this past week has been called Passion Week. My wife can't hear me. She's going like this. It's been called Passion Week. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of our Lord. Everyone's praising Jesus. Here he comes into Jerusalem, the palm branches. And what happened just a few days later? Most of those people turned against him and said, "Crucify, crucify." And he was sent to the cross and died. All the mock trials that took place, and all of this took place, and it was all according to God's sovereign plan that this happened. And he rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 15 in our main service. But it was according to the Scriptures that he was raised. Well, the Bible tells us that he appeared to many witnesses after he raised from the dead. Including this account right here before us. What's unique about the account before us is that this is the very day of the resurrection. How many days was Christ on earth after he resurrected and rose from the dead that first day till the ascension? It was 40 days. So this is the very first day he's appearing to his good friends, the disciples. And in verse 19 to 23, I'm going to skip over that, but I do want to highlight one thing in verse 20. In verse 19, it says, "On that day, that first day of the week, when the doors had been shut, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And when," look at verse 20, "when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord." There's a lot of theology packed in that verse right there. He showed them his hands. He showed them his side. It was a real bodily resurrection. It was not some spirit, it was not some phantom, it was the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, body and spirit. There were real nail prints. It was not someone else, it was not a phantom. And so let's read 24 to 29 one more time. This will be our text. Follow along, please. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the imprint of his nails, and put my finger into the nail place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, Thomas with them, and Thomas came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and he said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe." Now, a couple of words about Thomas before we look at three observations from this text, or three simple points. Thomas is mentioned in a couple other places in the Bible. You remember when Lazarus was dead, right? What did Thomas tell his fellow disciples? In John 11, he said, let us also go with him that we may die. Okay, and John 14, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and he says, I will come again, he says, how do we know where you're going and where we're coming? That's a loose paraphrase. Thomas was one that kind of looked at the glass half empty all the time. He kind of was one that was just one of those prone to doubt. Maybe your spouse is like that. Maybe you have a friend that's like that. But make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, Thomas was a real believer in Jesus Christ. He trusted him as his personal Savior. He was a good man, but he was prone to doubt and prone to fear. Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress brings out characters like despondency and much afraid. And these are real believers to indicate that there's real Christians in this world that sometimes are just prone to that. And so we should not doubt the validity of their salvation. So today we're going to look at three simple points. It all rhymes, so it's easy to remember. The situation, what was going on, the visitation, and then the invitation. Okay? The situation, the visitation, and the invitation. So first of all, the visitation. The situation, 24 to 25. We had just read it. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus first came. We don't know where he was, but he was not there. Perhaps he's wandering aimlessly, looking at the ground, discouraged, wondering, what has happened? My Lord was just crucified days ago. Where is he? Where's the hope? Where's the joy that he promised? And he's wandering around aimlessly, wondering what has happened to what appeared to be a great tragedy. It seemed to be a terrible event in his eyes. Christ was crucified. Now, Christ has just appeared to the 10 disciples. Now, what was Thomas thinking? He likely came back later that night, probably came back and the disciples are filled with joy. We've seen the Lord. And he's doubting. He's being a skeptic. Was it really the Lord? Was it someone else? Has someone come and tricked my good friends? And so his friends are testifying to the fact of seeing the Lord. And as I said, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historic fact. It is real. It is an authentic part of history. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about how he appeared to the 12, applied to the disciples as a whole, to 500 brethren at one time. He has appeared. He has shown himself in his resurrected state before ascending. Now, Thomas' unbelief, or his skepticism, I guess might be a better term, is manifested in verse 25. Look again at what he says. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. You can almost see the smiles and the joy bubbling from the expression here in the text. We have seen the Lord. But what did he say? He makes four demands. Unless I see the hands and the imprint of the nails, and put my finger to the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. His unbelief is persistent. He says he must touch and see. He wanted concrete evidence that this was really true, and that his friends were not deceived somehow. What anguish and pain this must have been for Thomas to wait. I mean, it's not as though Jesus came an hour later and then put all his fears to rest. It was a whole week, okay? And so during that week, we can only imagine what's going through Thomas's mind, what's going on in his heart, and he's leaping between hope that maybe it's true and fear maybe it's not, and he's doubting and he's being a skeptic. He's probably wondering, has Jesus forgot me? I was one of the 12. I did not betray my Lord. Where's Jesus at? All my friends have saw him, but I haven't seen him. That week was probably a very dreadful week for Thomas. But we see now the visitation in verses 26 to 28. It says, after 8 days. Now that's the Jews would refer to time like that. They would include the first day as well as the day that's being spoken of for a total of 8 days. So that is from Sunday to Sunday. After 8 days, that is the Lord's Day, what is now the Lord's Day, he came again. His disciples were again inside. This time, Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the same phraseology, the doors having been locked, and he stood in their midst, peace be unto you. Jesus, in love and mercy, comes and appears a second time to the disciples, and to Thomas in particular. His attention is immediately drawn to the doubting one, to Thomas, and he focuses on him. Now, our Lord did not have to do that. There was enough witnesses, but yet he does. And it shows here something of the love and the condescension of our Lord to one that is doubting, to one that is struggling with fear. And notice what Jesus does. He does not condemn Thomas right away. "You fool, why didn't you believe your friends?" You know, he doesn't do any of that. He comes here and he lifts this man to joy and increases his faith. Many who are astray from God think that they cannot come to him. And so, you know, right here, here's a beautiful picture here. That Thomas was doubting and Christ came to him on his terms. He went to great lengths to affirm this man's faith. And I'm reminded of Psalm 103 and verse 13 where it says, "Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." Now, Thomas had given those demands in verse 25. I told you there was four of them. Now, it's very interesting, and I've never seen this before, but in verse 27, Christ gives four commands to Thomas. Okay? And he says here, Thomas had said, "I want to see the hands, I want to put my finger in the hand, I want to put my hand in the side, and I will not believe." What does Jesus say? Then he said to Thomas, verse 27, "Reach here your finger. See my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." He answers the four demands of Thomas with four commands to affirm this man's faith. Be not unbelieving, but be believing. And oh, that Christ would speak to some of you here today who have not trusted in Christ. I know most of you are trusting in Christ, but there are some who have not. That you would hear the same words, "Be not unbelieving, but be believing." And as Christ's ambassador, I implore you, believe and trust on Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that he is indeed Lord and him alone. Now Thomas finally saw and believed. This is kind of like the top of the molehill here, the capstone. You know, he finally sees and believes. In verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Very powerful words here. A great declaration. A glorious confession. He was overcome with fear and reverence that this is indeed the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, before me. He has come back. He has shown me his hands. He's shown me his side. And there's all kinds of speculation. Did he have to touch? Did he have to? Well, the Bible is silent on that. I think he probably saw, and that was enough. His response, "My Lord and my God," declares the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only disciple to have called Jesus Christ God. And so it's remarkable to see this confession. And Jesus accepts the praise of Thomas. He doesn't say, "Wait, Thomas, no, you've got it wrong. I'm a created being. I'm the first being. I'm the first son, but I'm the first fruit." No, he doesn't say that. He receives the praise that you are indeed God, that Thomas says. This demonstrates his deity, a deity that he demonstrated throughout his earthly ministry, but so many were blinded to it. He forgave sins. He said, the I am. Brother Rob's teaching us in Sunday school about the I ams of our Lord in John. He raised people from the dead. Most surely he's God. So we've seen the situation. We've seen the visitation. And now, in verse 29, the invitation. It says, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe." Thomas had to see to believe. He would not believe apart from seeing. He, whatever you want to call him, being a skeptic, wanting more evidence, not wanting to be deceived, wanting to examine all the facts, but he had to see in order to believe. He had all of these demands that Jesus came to him on his level. Blessed are your eyes if you have not seen and yet believe. Too many today say we want signs, we want miracles. If only he would, you know, remember the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. What does he say? As he's suffering, he says, "No, Father Abraham, but send someone back to my brothers, then they'll believe." No, if they don't believe me, they don't believe the scriptures, they're not going to believe someone risen from the dead. Too many want signs and wonders. And Christ says, no sign will be given except for the sign of Jonah, that as he was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the belly of the earth and then rise victorious. So I invite you to believe today. Believe in faith that Christ has come into the world to save sinners. One man said, faith that results from seeing is good, but faith that results from hearing is more excellent. Many of you have trusted Christ as an atoning sacrifice for your sins, that your sins are forgiven, and you have that peace with God, you're reconciled to Him, and you have that joy that is an unspeakable joy. And you love Him, and you have believed by faith, though you have not seen, though you have not touched. You believe by faith because you see Him in the pages of Holy Scripture. Peter says, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So just a word for some of you here who might be prone to doubt. Maybe that spouse, the glass is half empty all the time. A word to you, encouragement for the week. Perhaps you sense your own weakness. Perhaps you sense your own little faith. Like Bunyan says in Pilgrim's Progress, the one character, little faith. He had just a little faith, and that's enough faith to save because he was trusting in Christ, but he went through life with a little faith. A word to you. Though you see your sin, though you see your weakness, though you see the standard and you see how far you fall short, it's an encouragement to keep your eyes on Christ. To look to Him because He has accomplished it all. He has done it all for us. He said it is finished on the cross. And Christ is compassionate. He's our high priest. He's the one that we go to. He's the one that we have access to. Anytime, 24/7. And we can go to Him. And He suffered in every way, even as we are, and yet without sin. What a glorious encouragement. What a great high priest. What a great Savior. And this is all because He has risen from the dead victoriously. So in conclusion, have you believed in Christ? Or are you one that's demanding to touch and to see the nail prints? Are you one that's a skeptic? Are you one that's doubting? Or have you believed? Have you truly trusted in Christ? Are you living a victorious life by virtue of Christ rising from the dead and weakening sin in you and giving you a renewed nature? Today is the day of salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That word, whosoever, is a very large word. It's a word for them. It's a word for this gentleman over here. It's a word for them walking right there. It's a word for the world. Whosoever shall believe in the name of the Son of God shall be saved. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And we should rejoice in that today. Let us pray. Our Father, we are humbled so much that You would send Your own Son, Your only Son, to die on our behalf. But we thank You that we are the recipients of this wonderful, marvelous grace. And Lord, we pray that You'd be with us as we would continue to worship. In Christ's name, Amen.